Listen in to the Community Connection Show with Alan Collier every Wednesday from midday to 2pm, where local community groups let you know what's happening right here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and I have with me, being the fourth Wednesday of the month, Cindy McLeish. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you very much.
Hope you had a good weekend and all. No, we won't touch a weekend. That was a silly thing to say. Sorry about that.
Cindy. And I even drew at hockey on the weekend, so I didn't even win that.
You didn't even win hockey? Wasn't your weekend.
We drew, though, so it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I suppose a draw is better than a loss. In the hockey, I don't know much about hockey. If you draw, do you get points each or neither side get a point?
No, you both get a point each. But if you win, you get 3 points.
Oh,
so,
right.
You know, it tries to make sure that they, like, there's a real differentiation to try and push people to win, not just get a draw.
Yeah, just a draw. Because if it had just been like one or two, well, it's not that big a deal, is it? But if, that's a lot better. Cindy, you're saying that you're in the budget session now, which would be pretty hard going, wouldn't it?
Yes, look, you know, everyone says to me, oh, you know, you must be so busy because of the federal election. You must be crazy busy. And I'm like, well, actually, yes, because the Victorian budget happens to be at the same time.
Yep.
And some people have said, well, you know, why is that? You know, like, that's bad planning. But, you know, the federal government go to the polls when they decide. And the sitting calendar, you know, is published in about August the year before. So we know when the budget's going to be in Victoria. And there's a lot of work from everybody leading up to the budget and analysing the budget. And when it's handed down, I mean, boy, you know, you should see it's...
Hundreds of pages, wouldn't it?
Oh, hundreds of pages. And so you really need to go and have a look through that. You've got to identify all of the things that where the smoke and mirrors are and where you think certainly in opposition, you know, you might... where there might be some deficits and things like that. So there's a lot of work actually goes into analysing. And then, of course, you want to know what's been delivered in your area. So it's quite a busy time.
Cindy, when you're when they're forming a budget and whichever... Blimey, I can see all the pages. Cindy, when they're forming a budget, is it a case of whichever party it is, because I don't want to get down to politics, but do... the MPs like yourself go along to the treasurer and say, well, I'd like all these different things in my area, and then all of them do it, and then gradually, like, you build a pyramid where they knock stuff out. Is that how it all works?
Look, a little bit, because if you're advocating for your community, you know, like, say, for Hoddles Creek CFA, for example, you know, or roads upgrades and things like that, you're talking about them all the time, and you're trying to, because there is grant programs out there, there's money that's spent all the time through governments, through different things, and you want to get things in your area on the list. So, you know, you do a lot of work emphasising the need or why it's really important for your area, you know, for example, the Hoddles Creek CFA, why it should be, you know, top and front and centre. Now, all MPs do that regardless of what party you belong to. And, you know, the more noise you make, you know, you can get a lot of work actually done as a result of that. And then you could also hope that some of it ends up, you know, being detailed in the budget. Right. And I guess that happened for Mansfield with their aged care. You know, they've got a huge need with their hospital and aged care facilities. And, you know, there's been quite a strong case made by members of parliament and the council in Mansfield and the doctors in the hospital, and that did get funding. So, you know, to a degree it does work a bit like that.
Mandy, Cindy, pardon me, I just want to use a hypothetical here. We'll say it's a parliament as it is now, and so we'll say you've got a particular road that you wanted upgraded. Do you go to the treasurer or do you go to the roads minister and it works up that way? I'm just trying to give everybody a bit of an idea how this whole thing works.
Yeah, you go to the relevant minister.
Right.
So, and you go to them in a different way because you can raise it in parliament. There are segments where we get to call for something.
Yep.
We could say, look, you know, I'm asking the minister, will you put electronic flashing speed lights outside Wesburn Primary School on the Warburton Highway. Yep. You can ask for something specifically like that and they will respond to you saying, yes, no, buzz off. Yep. Or you can write to them, you can ask questions of the chamber, you can ask questions on notice. There's a whole way that you can do this sort of advocacy, and that happens all of the time. And as I said, there's money that's spent, you know, for example, on roads all through the year. And if you've got something that an intersection's become more and more dangerous for different buildings or businesses have been located there, you know, you raise that as you go, and, you know, people in government are listening to what people raise. Doesn't mean they do something about it, but, you know, there's always somebody listening.
So if in that case, if you would and bring it up during the year, do you expect then that that minister should automatically ask or look at it for the budget, or would you think that you had to then again go to the minister?
Oh, look, you can be hopeful, depending what the issue is. And depending, and, you know, like with schools, and I know the government says, oh, well, you know, we keep building new schools. Well, when you've got, you know, had huge migration levels and families living in new suburbs, well, of course you have to build new schools. You can't not do that. Yep. Now, sometimes that might be to the detriment of the primary school in Healesville, for example, or Yarra Junction, because, you know, the funding has to go to schools in the new growth areas.
Well, there's only so much money to go around too, isn't there?
Well, yeah, there's less. There's less than so much money. So, yeah, that's what we do. But also, as a shadow minister, you have responsibility to look at the portfolios that, you know, you follow.
Oh, yeah.
And the ministers get grilled. They have sessions, and you see it on TV, that there's committees federally, state, and they grill the ministers. And as a shadow minister, I have to write all the questions that they might want to ask the ministers in those forums. So depending on, you know, the minister, you might get half an hour, you might get an hour and a half, but there's a whole bunch of people that are on those committees that can ask questions. So, you know, you kind of, you all get your 7 minutes, and then the next person gets 7 minutes, and the next person gets, so, but there'll only be about eight people on that committee.
Yeah, so it's very much contained.
Now, very, very busy, very busy time.
You wanted to talk about parks.
Well, look, that's interesting because, you know, certainly with the lockdowns and the extended lockdowns we've had, you know, people haven't been out and about as much. Now, we've just got great parks and trails at our doorstep, particularly in the Upper Yarra with the Warburton Trail. But there's all these, you know, the O'Shaughnessy Aqueduct Trail is a fabulous one, and, you know, the bridges down there, well, the bridges fenced off because it's an old wooden bridge. And, you know, these beautiful old wooden bridges, the trestle bridges, and the community have been sort of saying, well, what's going on here? You know, are they going to replace the bridge? Are they going to fix it up or replace it or not? And it means at the minute the park, you can't actually go through the trail.
And that's not the point of the trail, is it? The point of the trail is to let you go down there.
No. And I was at East Warburton Primary School the other day, and, you know, I was chatting to the kids, and we were talking about the environment where they live and how lucky they are to live where they are. And I said, look, I'm going to check out a bridge at the trail, and all the kids seem to know about the bridge, and they walk on it, or their dads run on it, and they've ridden their bikes on these trails. But, you know, from Millgrove, you can only go a kilometre in and then you're stuck, and you can get to the other side if you hike down and around and up, and it's quite slippery.
But that's not the purpose of it, is it?
No, and it'd be very difficult with your bike, especially if you had one of the electric bikes that are, you know, that are 20 times the size.
I was just going to say to you, it wouldn't do Greg Carrick any good on his battery bike, would it?
No.
Or his scooter.
And so we're a bit unsure about what's actually happening because the minister's saying something different to the department and what's up on the signs there. But, you know, it's really important that we can get out and now that we are allowed out, that we can enjoy all these things. And so it's disappointing that it's not, you know, is it going to be fixed this year? Is it going to be fixed next year? Just let us know.
And it cools the point of the trail, doesn't it?
And look, it totally does, because if you've come from the other way, you've gone a particular, you know, quite a way. Yeah. If you've come from Millgrove and you've only gone a kilometre, well, it's not so bad, you can go back. But if you've come a long way and you have to go back. So, and it's like, it's just so beautiful up there. It's lovely. So nice.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 25 minutes past one and 18 degrees. I have with me Cindy. Cindy, you'd like to talk about the a subject that I love. I love to hear about schools, as you know. I just love to hear what the kids do, but you're at the East Warburton Primary School.
That's right. Look, Jill Cooper, the teacher who's been there, the lead teacher's been there for, I think, 25 years, and, you know, her grandchildren have been through it, everything, and she was retiring the other day, so I popped in just to say g'day, and when I was there, I had a chat to the kids, and, you know, it's just so good when you talk to the kids about, you know, what they've been doing. And that morning, actually, I'd been to the Upper Yarra RSL's ANZAC service, where all the kids from, I think, grade six, from all of the schools across the Upper Yarra all come together and do this fabulous, fabulous service. And so one of the girls in the class, I just, you know, had my photo with that morning, and we're sitting there chatting about different things, and, you know, they have to ride their bike on the road sometimes because there's no bridge, and we talked about that bridge a bit. And then I was saying to the kids about how lucky they are, you know, and, you know, some of these kids are from pretty, you know, difficult or underprivileged backgrounds, but, you know, like, they live where they do, in this fabulous area with the rail trail. And I asked the kids, I said, how many kids can ride a bike? Well, of course, they can all ride bikes. You know, and then their hands all fly up, and, you know, the schools often have a class set of bikes as well, so that they're out and about. And you see kids on the rail trail all the time. And I told these kids that I'd been up to Marysville last year on a camp with some underprivileged kids from the western suburbs. I didn't say all of that. with some kids who went up there, and I said, and do you know what? And it was something like, it was more than half of the kids had never ridden a bicycle.
Fair dinkum.
And I said to the kids, you know, you're so lucky. You've got this, and you can all ride bikes. And these kids, and they're all going, wow, really? And then the teacher goes, I bet they're from the city. I said, well, of course they're from the city.
Well, because they used to have bike education at some of the primaries. Do they still have that?
Look, I think they do, but, you know, you have to, everything's a matter of getting kids there to go to do it and all of this. Yep. And we are lucky in the Upper Yarra because the schools are, you know, the trail's very accessible. But, you know, these kids had gone up to Marysville, and some of them were from other countries where they don't have bikes.
Yep.
Some countries that bike is the only method of transport. But when they come here, and the teachers, well, not the teachers, their families get really worried about them if they ride on the bike, the footpath or the road, they don't want them out and about. And so they don't have that opportunity to learn to ride. And so they go on an outdoor education. This was only a weekender.
Yep.
You know, and they couldn't ride a bike, and they have to teach them. And these were secondary students.
Secondary students?
No, they weren't, you know, little eight-year-olds.
Little tackers?
No, they weren't little tackers. And, you know, I was thinking about it because, you see, most kindergartens have, you know, the trikes.
Yep.
And a kid would be riding along on a trike. But, you know, you miss out on that next step unless you've got a bike at home, unless you're near a bike path. And you can be at a bike path near the city, but, you know, you need mum or dad to have a bike and to go out riding with you, or, you know, a cousin or somebody who you can go out with. But, you know, I thought it was really, you know, it was really quite sad. And then, you know, we can look at the kids in the Upper Yarra and think, gosh, you know, some of them are really behind the eight ball, but they can all get out and ride a bike. And the kids are saying, yeah, my dad and I, we walk on that O'Shaughnessy trail, or we walk on the rail trail, or we do this and we do that, you know, and I thought, that's so good.
Yeah, and, well, it's not only good, it's good for the kids' health too, isn't it?
Oh, look, especially when they've been locked up for so long.
Yeah.
You know, and looking at devices, being inside.
Yeah, not good.
No, no, and there was some studies done just recently by the Victoria University, and said all the kids, because they haven't had PE classes, they haven't had mucking around in the playground, they haven't had after-school sport or weekend sport for a couple of years, they can't throw, they can't catch, they can't kick.
Can they?
No.
Yeah. I mean, that's a downside. It's a real downside, because some of those things, you just need to know. Like, and you need to have some fun as well in life too, don't you?
Absolutely. You need to, and it's so good for your health and well-being. But also, you get to learn how to deal with other kids, you know, and if you're playing a game of netball and the ball doesn't come up your end, you know, you kind of got to learn how to suck it up.
You know? Get on with it.
Or try and get moved to, you know, somewhere else and realise that not everyone's in the play all of the time and you have to cooperate with team members and stuff like that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of some of those. I mean, that's really good ways. And of course, with winter, there's always that thing where you can say, "Oh, it's too cold, it's too wet," and all that, can't you? I mean, you just need to get yourself out and about at times.
Look, absolutely, and it's been easy. Well, it hasn't been easy. It's been rotten being locked up.
Yeah.
But people get out of the habit of going out. You know, and I've said before that we don't have enough, you know, like people playing sport. So Victoria University not only found that kids couldn't throw, catch or kick, but, you know, they'd left organised sport as well. And that's really, you know, that's concerning because you don't get that whole development. And, you know, like when you're at school, Alan, I don't know if you, you know, but say boys, for example, kick to kick.
Yep.
Doesn't matter if it's in cricket season.
Yep.
They'll go out at lunchtime and they'll kick a footy.
Yep.
Kick the toe out of their shoes.
Yep. And we did all sorts of games like that.
Yeah. And see, so not only you're not having PE classes, but you're not having all of that informal running and chasing and tag and all those sorts of things. I remember after school, my daughter, they were all played tag and stuff like that, and they were active.
And the other thing is, too, and you just touched on it briefly too, that you have to play as part of the team. Whereas if you're just kicking or belting the ball up against at home because you're in lockdown, it's not going to do you any good at all. You've got to learn that, hey, I'm not always going to be the one who gets the ball. They're going to pass it to someone else and they're going to kick it to someone else. And like you say, suck it up, sunshine.
Yeah, you know, so it's important lessons, but just it also sets the path for an active and healthy lifestyle. You know, that this is what you do. You get out and you walk or you do this, and rather than you sit at home and play on your computer all day.
And one of the things that I've talked about on this program a lot, not necessarily with yourself, is social isolation for the elderly too. I mean, a lot of them have become very, very isolated even more during the lockdowns, and that some of them are finding it really hard to get out and about. I know people like Rotary and Lions, that they're not getting the members along to their meetings now that they can meet face-to-face, because a lot of people have just, well, not given up. They've just got into the habit of, oh, no, I watch this on that night and I do this. And so I think that's going to be a real problem, social isolation, to be honest with you.
Look, it is, and there are still people who are scared to go out.
Yep.
You know, and we've got big numbers at the minute and, you know, we've got a whole bunch of people away from Parliament this week that have got COVID.
Have you?
No one's particularly ill that I'm aware of. And I think we had people away last week. So, you know, lots of people are getting COVID, but there's other strains of flu and coughs and colds that are going around too. And, you know, some people are still very, very concerned.
Yeah, I was saying in the last interview that I went to a play the other night, just a local play, and they could sell 120 tickets and they'd only sold 20. And normally they would have sold the 120, but they only sold 20 tickets. It's all they could get.
Wow, that's really disheartening for those that have put on the play too.
Yep. And all. Cindy, I know you've got to go, but is there anything else you'd like to raise before you have to go?
I mentioned it just briefly a moment ago, but the Upper Yarra ANZAC services that they have, that they bring all the schools together. And I'm going to give a really big shout-out to the kids from Millwarra, who were the MCs this year. So they haven't had it for a couple of years, but all of the kids, the government schools, the Catholic schools, they all come, the grade sixes, and present.
So, I don't want to cut across you, but do the kids actually run the service? You're saying about
they
a couple
run
of...
the service.
Fair they go.
Yeah, it's great. It's so empowering. And, you know, you had some kids that went along there that had learnt their lines so well. A couple of girls from Woori Alec Primary School could speak about, I think one was about a nurse and one might have spoken about a soldier, without notes, about this is when they joined up, this is what they
without
did, this
notes.
Is where they went. And then other kids, you know, one of the principals said to me, you know, we haven't got our best speakers, but we've got kids who really wanted to speak in front of a crowd. And then some of them, you know, depending on the schools, and some of the kids, you know, different abilities too, they all stood up, They watched, they were quiet. Oh, look, it's so good. And it's, you know, been disappointing we haven't been able to have it for a couple of years. But the Upper Yarra RSL worked together with the schools and, you know, they've had, they have soldiers there, they have Vietnam vets there, they have people that are involved in different ways that they can talk to them after. Like, it's just so good.
That's terrific. So,
highlight of the year.
Sorry, do they do that every year, Cindy?
They do.
Other than when lockdown.
Other than COVID, yeah. And they're outside. We were lucky this year because it didn't rain during the service. And, you know, they come and they lay out the big blankets for the kids to sit on the ground, or looked like they had one of those parachutes, I think, one, you know, where they all sit down in their groups and they've all got their uniforms on, and every school has a different role. You know, it's very coordinated.
School takes some part of it, do they?
Yeah, but Millwarra were the MCs this year, so it was their turn to do that.
And so that moves around from school to school every year too, does it?
I'd suggest that's what happens.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah, look, it was. It was just, the people that are there from, you know, the Outer Eastern Vietnam vets is there, you know, people from the local RSL and from the RSL, and they look at these kids and they think, wow, the future's in good hands with these kids who are having a go.
Yeah. That's terrific, isn't it?
Yeah. And look at some schools where every kid had a go from grade six. And, you know, you can imagine not every kid's confident.
Yep.
But they all stood there and they did their bit.
And that's all you can ask for too, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrific.
So fabulous.
Cindy, I think you've probably got to go. Is that right?
I do. I've got to get ready to run to a meeting before we've got question time and the bells will go soon.
All right, Cindy. Look, it's great to talk to you again and we look forward to seeing you the fourth Wednesday in June. The year will be nearly gone, or half gone.
Half gone. And that, I think that's also a Parliament sitting day.
Well, we'll talk to you via the phone.
Okay.
Thanks, Cindy. See you. Bye.